fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends. I want to continue today to talk about some of the themes of this great season of Advent that we're hopefully pilgrimaging together through this season toward the celebration of the Lord's coming and a preparation for the Lord's return. Looking at the Catechism sections, really paragraph 668 through 675, which reflects on the teaching of the Creed that he will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead. Because, again, the gaze, I've been saying it last 2 weeks, the gaze of Advent is not only toward the celebration of what happened in the past, Jesus is coming in the flesh, but our gaze is toward the return of the Lord and preparing ourselves and making sure we're ready. Readiness is a key theme in this season. Are you ready to meet the Lord? Does your life look like you're ready to meet the Lord? Are you living in a way, in a posture of readiness in your life? And so I want to jump into paragraph 671 today. I touched on it on Monday, a little bit on Tuesday. I want to finish that today and then see how much farther we can get. The beginning of the paragraph says that though already present in his church, Christ's reign is nevertheless yet to be fulfilled with power and great glory by the king's return to earth. This reign is still under attack by the evil powers, even though they have been defeated definitively by Christ's Passover. Until everything is subject to him, until there be realized new heavens and new earth in which justice dwells, the pilgrim church, in her sacraments and institutions, which belong to this present age, carries the mark of this world which will pass away. And she herself takes her place among the creatures which groan and travail yet and await the revelation of the sons of God. There's a lot in that. It's a very long sentence. But here it is in a nutshell, begins this second sentence, until everything is subject to him. In 1 Corinthians 15, you can see there's a section beginning in verse 20 and following. We can take a look at how St. Paul understands what it means that all things are subject to him. It said, but in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. So Jesus is the first fruits. He's the new creation. What has happened in him by his grace and by his power will happen to us. We will pass from death to life and will be born, not just another biological birth, but we're going to be born into the new creation, which is we see in the person of Jesus through faith, the glorious existence he has beyond death. That's our destiny. And he's the only one who can give that to us. Verse 21, Paul says, for as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection from the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. That's what Christianity is, to be made alive in Christ. In a nutshell, that's what it is. That's what salvation is, to be made alive and enter into glory with Jesus Christ, to share what belongs to him. Verse 24, it says, then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, after destroying every rule and every authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. And the last enemy to be destroyed is death. For God has put all things in subjection under his feet. Jesus reigns. Jesus really is Lord of all. Jesus is awesome in his love and his mercy, but he's terrible and powerful in his judgments. Jesus was sent by the Father on a mission to seek and save the lost, the children the Father has made, you and me. And Jesus has that in mind. That's his goal. That's his mission, is to accomplish what the Father has given to him. And what the Father has given to him is the commission to come and to destroy everything that separates us from the Father. The world, the flesh, the devil, the power of sin in us, the power of death that's working against us, he destroys it all. And to make a way so that those the Father has made in his image and likeness can be saved out of love, to be brought home to the Father's house. So Jesus is the one that has come in search of each and every one of us. And he comes with tender mercy. He comes with great compassion, but with fierce determination. He's after the salvation of every man and woman the Father has created. And he's promised, his commission is to bring every one of us under subjection to the Father, which he did first himself. In obedience to the Father, he subjected himself. Obedience even to death on a cross. And when he was raised, he ascended to the right hand of the Father, and he came back the obedient Son, having given to the Father everything the Father asked of him. And Jesus freely, joyfully, lovingly subjected himself to the Father. Father, thy will be done. And the Father, overjoyed with the faithfulness of his beloved, raised him up at his right hand and gave him authority over everything. And it's the Father's purpose that everything would be subject to Jesus, that every single person would come to bend the knee to Jesus and to live for Jesus. Not to throw him a bone, going to church a couple times a year, not just to be determined on my own strength to be a good person, to be nice, because that's what Jesus wants me to be. It means to surrender your entire life to him. Make him the center of your whole existence. The reason you get out of bed every morning. It isn't to become America's wealthiest man, most famous woman, right? To live all your dreams, to go after your bucket list and live for your bucket list. Well, you know, it's great to have a bucket list, but the bucket list must be something that Jesus signs off on. Otherwise, you're just living for yourself. You're looking for good things to do while you're in this world. Here's Jesus on a mission for the salvation of souls, and we might have created bucket lists that have nothing to do with him, that have nothing to do with his power. That's not being subject to Christ. That's not Jesus as Lord in your life and mine. He didn't create us and give us this existence on earth and the freedom he's given us so we can make a list to entertain ourselves and make sure that we're being entertained every day. That's what the world tells us it's all about. But Paul tells us, and the Catechism reminds us, and Advent is the season for us to get clear again. Wait a minute, where's my life headed? Why am I here? What's this all about? What kind of a being am I? What was I made for? Who made me? What am I supposed to be doing here? What's the purpose of all this? That's what should be ringing in our minds and our hearts. That's what we should be chewing on and seeking God's wisdom and God's light to respond to that. So, verse 25 again, for he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. Here's the question. Does Jesus Christ reign in your life? It's very important to see. Is he the Lord of your life? Well, what do you do with your time? What do you do with your treasure? What do you do with your talent? Where does your money go? Where does your time go? Where does your interest go? Your life, your imagination? Does Jesus have anything to do with it? Is he informing your life? He's got a plan for you. He's got a purpose for you. You were made for him. Find out what he's called you specifically to. So the paragraph continues, acknowledges that we're all is to be subject to him, and Jesus is at work subduing all things. The final thing he's going to subdue is death. And when he comes again, or when we die, the question is, do we die his friend or we die his enemy? That's our choice. And when we die, it's going to be definitive. There's no second chance after we die. We die once, and then there's the judgment. And so the church serves us. And the Catechism says the church is a pilgrim passing through this time on earth, and she belongs to this present age. That is, her sacraments, the visible signs that Jesus gave to the church to help us be united to Christ and receive his grace. So the sacraments in the institution, the priesthood, the bishops, the church, as we see it, feel it, understand it, that belongs to this present age. And it carries the mark of this world which will pass. That is, those forms. When Jesus comes again in glory, the seven sacraments, the church buildings, the priesthood, all of that's going to pass away as we see it and understand it now, because we're going to be with Christ. He's going to be all in all. The church exists for, in this world, to lead people to that will be, it's moving us toward a final consummation when all the forms of this earth are going to pass away. And so the church, the catechism teaches us, is like the rest of mankind who doesn't even necessarily feel it, is we're groaning, we're awaiting the final revelation of the sons of God. That's what the Spirit of God does in us if we're alive to the grace we've been given in baptism and confirmation. The Spirit is calling out, "Come, Lord Jesus." The Eucharist is an acknowledgement of Christ's lordship, of his victory, of where we're headed. That it's a confession, an acknowledgement that man lives not by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And what's the word that comes from the mouth of God? It's Jesus, the Word of God. And he gives himself to us in the Eucharist. And in that Eucharist is a cry of our heart. We believe, Lord. Lord, help our unbelief. Lord, forgive us for our sins. Lord, conform us to your image. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Come and fulfill the purpose the Father has given to you. And we cry out to hasten, the Catechism says, to hasten the return of the Lord. That's what the Spirit cries in us. Give yourself a chance, friend, to hear the voice of the Spirit within you. Find the place of quiet. Go to a Eucharistic chapel. Bring your Bible, or just bring the Catechism that I'm talking about here, and reflect on these sections, paragraphs 668 through 675, and beg the Holy Spirit to help you see this and understand it. You might, in listening to the program this last week and a half, think, boy, that stuff sounds good and it's inspiring in different ways, but wow, it's just like totally off my radar. That's a good thing to know. It's a good thing to be honest about. Well, if that's where you are, in particular, I want to exhort you, let this be a time of change, to repent, to say, Lord, I want to change. I want to live differently. I can't do it on my own power. I got a full plate. From the moment I wake up till I put my head on a pillow, I'm going full bore every day, all day. And I barely have a minute for anything. And Lord, it seems like I'm serving everything but you, or you just get a little bit of what I'm doing. Lord, help me understand how as a father, as a mother, as a banker, as a doctor, as a lawyer, as a school teacher, as a nurse, whatever, how can I have you at the center of my life? What does it mean to live under your lordship? Because I want to cooperate with what the Spirit is doing. I want you to reign in my life. I want to be subject to you. Help me understand what that looks like. Take my heart, take my mind, take my time, my talent, my treasure. Let it be all for you. Give me the grace to literally live it out each day for the praise of your glory. Come and reign in me. Come and work your miracle in me. I'll make room for you. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus. Let that be the cry of your heart, friend, in this season of Advent. God bless you.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, in this year of mercy, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, St. Francis Used Words. St. Francis is really a model of mercy, and he communicated that mercy through both deeds and through words. And Pope Francis reminds us that each one of us is called to do the same. If you'd like a copy of this free booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789, or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.